If you're joining us just now, we're returning, and this is a Help Wanted on X-Ray FM, and I'm Shane Torres, your host, and I'm here with comedian Steven Wilbur, winner of last night's Funniest Person in Portland contest. Congratulations again. Mm-hmm. Before the break, during the break, we were talking about how every comedian is going to do an impression of you now for the next year.
We weren't talking about that.
Well, that's what started with me.
No, it didn't. It didn't start with last year.
I'm sorry I'm so memorable as an
yeah,
act.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a.
I'm not sorry about
somebody it. Somebody was doing an impression of me, and I was, like, honored by it because I never thought I had any sort
a
of,
a descript
like,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I mean, like, who did the impression and what was it?
It was Danny Feltz, and it was like a
that's like putting white paint on top of white paint.
It was just sort of
I don't
like
know
a,
what that means, but it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds pretty good. Colloquialism to Shane Torres. Yeah. But he did a what was the impression?
It was something like just like you talk really quiet and then you get really loud and
that's pretty that is a thing you do, but like that's not very descriptive. So, I'm sorry, back to the format of the show that we've avoided pretty well so far.
We've been talking about jobs this whole time.
No, we haven't.
Planetary pizza. The
Suds and slices, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to think of alternative names for food court frying chicken or whatever you were doing there. And then before that, just to recap for the listeners that are just joining us, Steven worked at Planetary Pizza, which was a laundromat, pizza parlor, and CD sales shop. And then you went to college in Spokane, and you worked at a production company for films.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you moved down to Battleground, Washington. You work as a janitor in a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after that?
I moved to Portland.
Much better, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I got a job at a collection agency.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. For almost 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have weighed on – how did that feel emotionally?
I didn't do the collections. I did for like the first 3 months.
Well, you're just like, I can't
and
do this.
And then there was like a clerical job that opened up.
And you were like, absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, I heard that lady was looking up used car prices on the internet when she's not supposed to do the zero tolerance. How about I do that job?
You didn't rat.
No.
God, I didn't think you would do that.
But no, the collection part, the whole job was a little draining on me, but the collection part was really bad. And it's hard because it's a place that
– So you would just call people
mm-hmm.
and then they would tell you to go to hell basically?
Yeah.
Do you have a particular call that
– Well, the thing was they specialize in medical debt. So it's not like somebody just welching out on their plasma TV
or
something.
The,
it's people that had a bad thing happen to it
already.
And, you know, I wasn't financially planning for cancer.
That's one of the, you can't just, you got to call, hey, remember how we, saved your life?
Yeah.
Like,
pay up. But there was a, there was one person who accused me of being the Russian mob trying to con her.
Was she Russian?
No.
That would make a little more sense.
I've been reading maybe. About you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, I'm clearly not Russian, ma'am.
I am clearly not Russian.
I'm Ukrainian.
It'd be so funny, like if you were talking to her and everyone's like, "Ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. I am clearly not Russian, but I would really appreciate it if you could set up a payment." Like,
ma'am, accent. I'd like you to think of me as, like your comrade. Okay, like,
look, let's hash this out over a couple of pierogies. What do you say? I don't know if that's Russian. But, like, yeah, he's just, like, saying things the whole time. She's, like, just feeding her paranoia. So one woman...
And there was just a lot of crying, a lot of people crying.
Yeah.
And
that would be the worst part. Like, being told to, like, you know, piss off or whatever, I think at a job would be like, well, that sucks. But at that job, you would kind of... expect it, you know, a little, like, not expect it, but something, you know, could happen at the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the sad ones would probably bum me out the most.
I'm just not a phone guy anyway. I don't like talking to people ever, let alone on the phone. So
you're not a loquacious person.
Yeah.
So you're working there and, you're making all these calls. How many calls a day do you have to make?
At least like one a minute if you're like just leaving voicemails.
Okay.
Sort of thing. So,
were some people, I have medical bills I've never paid. And I'm being like, I had an allergic reaction to some food and I freaked out. And I had, like, all these hives and stuff, and I was sweating and breathing really heavy, and I went to Providence Hospital. I sat in the emergency room for an hour and a half. They saw me for 5 minutes. They were like, you got – which this is probably a politically incorrect term, but they called it a Chinese food syndrome or something like that. Like, they're people apparently like –
Wait, was it – was it Chinese food syndrome or was it Chinese food syndrome?
Syndrome.
Was it Chinese food syndrome or Chinese food syndrome?
What are you saying? What
is... One is a little more racist.
Oh, I see. I don't know. I feel like both of them are politically incorrect, probably.
Like if – I don't know if there's just like some worm that's associated with Chinese food. Well, and they're like, oh, you got Chinese food syndrome.
No. What it is apparently a lot of Asian restaurants use MSG, which is like
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah, which is like a
it's additive, an additive
of some kind. It's supposed to bring
flavor out additive.
Yeah. Really intensify flavor. And I went to this place, apparently they used a lot of it, and I got really, you know, sick and freaked out. And the doctor, who was beautiful, she goes, yeah, you got Chinese food syndrome. What? It's probably not syndrome. Doesn't it? Can't be the right word. That sounds awful. It sounds really bad. And I was like, "Well, that's." I thought it was like, "That's probably an offensive."
No, thing. I think it's Chinese food syndrome.
God, I'm so confused.
Do you understand the difference between like saying that it's a disease associated with a certain type of food?
Well, first of all, it's not a disease.
What it's a. It's something that it's a reaction caused by a certain type of food.
Yeah.
Not a food syndrome that's common in China.
Oh, like, okay. Yes. You know yes. I understand what you're saying. Yes. Okay. Compelling radio. Anyways, they charged me $600 and I thought it was ridiculous, you know?
And the worst part,
and so I just
no
didn't...
fortune cookie. Wah, wah.
How did you win the contest?
That's not the joke that won the competition.
You will use that.
In that voice. I will do it in your voice.
You can't. You do a terrible impression of me. But they charged me $600 and I never paid it. And now I have to go to a claims court. Because I thought that was a ridiculous amount of money to have to pay for nothing. But so you start doing clerical work at these.
Yeah. A lot of strong personalities at that office. You know,
yeah.
A lot of brassy people.
Like everyone's kind of like that kind of job has just beat them down a little bit.
No, like a lot of people like really upbeat, like. Yeah, always closing. Gotta be closing, bro. Like that sort of thing.
They're in Glengarry, Glen Ross.
Raise something. Those quotas, you know, sort of thing. Like people just really passionate about what they do because
are people who are they commissioned or something?
A lot of people, yeah. And then
there's like a sales bill.
And like most of the supervisors were people who were like star collectors. And then they've moved on, you know. They move on to management positions.
God.
But
that's gross.
Yeah, and there was such a, like, you're dealing, there's a lot of legal stuff happening, and a lot of, since there were, it, they were dealing with medical bills.
Would they collect debts? Like, would they just buy debt from, like, a hospital or something?
No, they would have deals with
They would work with the hospitals.
Yeah.
Because some companies just buy debt and then are like, you owe us $1 million.
No, they would work, they would collect the money, give it to the hospital.
Yeah, okay.
And then keep a little piece.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a lot of, like, HIPAA laws and stuff, like a lot of you just got to be very precise with your work, and then if you're not, if you mess up a little bit, then you get yelled at and you cry in the bathroom for a little bit. So I don't like getting yelled at.
I don't either. I'm sorry, I've been yelling at you a little bit. So, like, you have to be so precise because why? If you're not, then
well, it's just
they could lose the debt, or
well, that's attorneys are always looking for
any reason,
little like misstep that they could do, like
it's Wilbur with an E, not with an I.
And there's like, you know, there's laws in place that if a collection agency screws up, it's like $20,000 immediately to that person.
Really? Practice can be so crooked, or what?
If you just there's a lot of laws. First, with like healthcare information, being able to give that out to people and stuff, like who sees your medical records and stuff, and we have to deal with that because we're dealing with medical debt. And then there's also
you see their medical records,
yeah. And then there's also like,
so you're just like,
there's also debt collection laws.
I like the idea of you calling me. Yeah, I'm looking at your file here. It seems like you had a quadruple bypass. And then
it's like you never paid for that credit up bum.
Yeah.
That credit up bum you had.
That I've heard that's a doozy, man. I do not envy you. But it is about $40,000. Like, I don't – like just some totally cavalier.
Well, because there's people who are like, well, I didn't pay that bill. And then you're forced to send them like an itemized statement like showing – or like I didn't even go there. It's like, here's all your information. Here's the visit. Here's what happened. So you have to see it too, and you have to redact a lot of stuff. Like cross it out with Sharpies. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of that, and then debt collection laws about what you can say to people and like when you can call them and stuff. So both of those are very strict. And you have to abide by both of them.
You have a little Venn diagram-ish area for you to work in, I guess.
Of hell, yeah. and then you just
– So you if you call somebody after or before a certain time, stuff like that?
Yeah, they can like – they can sue you and it's like an automatic like $20,000 sort of thing.
Really?
And yeah, there's so many like laws protecting consumers. You wouldn't believe it by watching C-SPAN, but there are.
So you get enough of that and you work in the clerical job, and I'm assuming that was probably kind of a boring keep to yourself kind of position.
It was not really a lot of answering phones and filing stuff and looking up medical records and crossing stuff out with Sharpies, making copies.
Tell me about the star collectors. Are they like really intense people that are like drinking coffee all the time? And
well, they're just like people, and it seems all different walks of life, like people, and it's like it's not the same personality that gets results.
It seems like it would be.
There are some people that are very forceful, and then there are some people that, you know, lay on the charm, and then there's even like some really soft spoken people who just really nail it, and it's just a technique thing. And it's
like
comedy.
It's kind of what game do you have?
Like, yeah, it's like an art in anything, like any skill where what they're doing, they're like how is that person just handing over the money like that just by talking? It looks so easy, but it's.
I'm curious to see the guy who's all charged up, who's just kind of like, pay the bill. Like what?
Well, then they would do things like, okay, guys, it's end of the month. We got a big close, and then they'd put up like the big collections, and there was constant contests happening. Like,
that's
who,
so gross.
Who, like the biggest, like, who get, like brings in the most dollars. There'd be, like, bingo. Like, oh, if you bring in $1,000, you get a bingo square. And then, like, lots of different things. There was a ball. Like, there
so
was.
So it's competitive, too.
Yeah.
That's.
And, like, the top collector would get, like, a bonus. And then there was.
How
on
much
top
was
of
the
commission.
Bonus?
It was pretty big.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in the thousands?
Maybe. Well, like the commissions would be – they'd get like a base
like
pay of like 10 bucks an hour. And then like some people would be bringing in like $3,000 extra dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and like there were like people who would bring in $1 million a year and they'd get to go to Vegas with the owner.
Ugh, God. Who wants to go to Vegas with that? That's so sick that he – this guy owns a business that is getting – recovering people's money like for the procedures and care they couldn't afford. And then he takes his best employee to Vegas to pump it into somebody else's – like, it's disgusting. It's like look at the serial numbers on your dollars every once in a while. See if they come back to you. It's gross. Oh God. So you did that for a bit, and where'd you go after there? Or how did that end?
I got a better job finally. It was so hard to, like, it's a 9-to-5 job. Looking for another job when you have a 9-to-5 job is hard because
it's
you
really...
can't. And it was a place that was really like strict about sick days and calling in or getting time off. Like, you'd have to give like real advance notice, so if like you got a thing for an interview, you couldn't like just say, hey, can I take tomorrow off? Like,
yeah,
it had to be like 3 weeks notice. And
what?
Yeah.
And you couldn't, like, if you called in sick, they would just be like, you're fired, that kind of thing?
No, they would they would lay on the smarm.
Oh, really? Like, that's the worst. Oh, how was your day?
Are you
off?
Sure you can't come in? It's sort of stuff like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never got people who call in to work a lot. I have too much guilt for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've called into work not very often in my life. I had to this week, actually, but last week. No, but.
I was so afraid of, like, getting. Accused of like faking sick and not being able to prove it, like get a doctor's note. One time I did have a job interview. I didn't get the job. It was at a comic book company. It would have been amazing, but I didn't get the job.
That does sound like a good gift for you.
I called in. Are they going to be, they're not going to be listening. I called in.
Who?
My old employers.
Who cares?
Who exactly?
Yeah,
but
what are they gonna? What are you gonna not work for more now?
I called in and said I had to go home to my hometown. My father tried to kill himself. Here's the thing.
Come on, man. There's a gray area.
No, this is. This is beautiful,
but
all right?
That's also,
because it's not like my grandma died, right? It's not saying like that. It's like, show me a body, or like, and that's such a fine. My dad.
Show me a body.
My dad.
I want a pamphlet from the funeral.
My dad attempted suicide, so it's enough for me to go and be with him. But he didn't die, so if somehow it comes up again that my dad's still alive, they're not like, all right, wait a minute. Or if for some chance they saw him in person, they wouldn't be like,
"Here's my
how
son
was that suicide drink. Attempt?" Like, they would be not something that they would talk about. So I was like, all right.
I see it.
And it's like, I think it's something you could use multiple times. Really.
You know how
right?
Yeah, probably.
After the fourth time, it's like dad who cried knife, but it's like
oh my God. Oh, Steven. That's how you know that was a terrible job.
Like, if you had to do that to get a day off of work, at what point in this were you doing comedy? When did you start?
It was during the collection agency job.
Okay.
So,
what prompted you to do comedy?
I went to school for film and art, and like I was like a creative guy, mm-hmm. I guess. And I just
you're very creative on stage too.
I just wasn't doing anything, you know. I was just kind of spinning my wheels, and
you were just working.
Yeah,
which is the scariest thing.
And I wanted to boost. I wanted some sort of motivation. And I was like thinking about all these fears, like to start any creative process, there's all these like fears, like what if I fail? And it's all stupid stuff. Yeah. But I thought to myself, stand up was always the scariest of like the creative things.
Really?
That you could, because unlike a band or even a play or a movie, like you're hiding behind something.
You are exposed as a comedian.
You're up there. It's just you. You're getting scrutinized for every word you say instantly.
Yeah.
And it terrifies me. I tried it. There was a stand-up night in college, and I tried it once.
Oh, so you had done it already before you
– I did it once.
What, do you remember your joke?
I was like, never – no. And I did something about Dance Dance Revolution. I know that. It was something about – how the game berates you. Terrible. Yeah.
That's not like the worst observation for the very first time to do stand-up, though. It's really not.
I ended it. I fell to the floor and pantomimed like the game was doing me in the butt.
Funniest person in Portland, everyone.
But then, so, and that was like 2005, and then I didn't do it until
7 years later,
scary. So I figured if I went up and I did like 7 open mics, I gave that arbitrary number 7 open mics,
yeah,
then I could do anything. Like, I did that. I overcame the scariest thing. I could go, like, do a comic book, or I could go write a movie or something.
There was a litmus test for your will to be creative or something?
I just thought, like,
or something.
I had all these fears about doing anything creative that if I did the scariest thing and did it,
really,
then I could do anything.
Yeah. Do you feel that way now?
No. I just started doing stand-up then. I just liked it.
Still like it. Seems like you have a lot of fun when you're up there. You okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
You seem like so unhappy that you won last night.
Well, maybe off.
Tell me about it now. This is interesting. This is interesting.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been talking about this all day.
We'll talk about it one more time. You want to talk about it ever again. You just point when people want to ask you about it, be like, hey, listen to my episode of Help Wanted.
And they'll be like, I'd rather just not know.
Is that guy's radio show who used to be Portland's place?
When Ian won it and then Nathan won it and then you won it, it was like, of course.
Oh, you felt that way?
Like they're the top – the toppest of dogs.
Were the seasoned ones.
Yeah. Of course they're going to win.
More seasoned, I guess. Like, I don't think I feel like I'm a baby in stand-up.
It was such an amazing show last night that I feel when I won it, it was like, what? there was a bit of shock.
A little bit, maybe.
It wasn't like...
But not... It's not like you did not have an amazing set last night.
Everyone had an amazing set.
Yeah, though, but somebody had to win, too, and somebody had to take last.
Just didn't think.
I'm sorry, Sean Jordan. I'm saying he took last.
No.
No. I thought Sean was actually had a good shot at winning it, too, but there were so many good sets.
Yeah.
But so you feel like people thought that?
Well, I just feel like it was a bit of a game changer. It was a bit of a
curveball a little bit.
Yeah, and... Like, I didn't I certainly didn't see it coming. I can say maybe before, like during the prelims and the semis, I was like, oh, I didn't deserve it. I feel like I did okay. Like I deserved like, moving on.
Okay, in the
to
first
the
two
finals, yeah. And this one, I'm like, I don't know. It was a really strong night. But
it was. But
I feel great.
To...
It feels. It's cool. It's really cool.
And it doesn't seem like you're not appreciating it because I can tell that you do.
Like, yeah. It's like
you. You seem to have some kind of mixed emotion about it, and I was wondering what it was.
Well, and I'm like upset that all these people, my favorite comics in Portland, didn't win because of me. I'm the reason people are sad. I'm the reason.
What the hell do you think they're going to do? They're not all going to call their work and be like, hey, my dad tried to kill himself. Like, I'm not coming in today. You deserve it, man. You did really great last night.
Thank you.
This was really fun. We're definitely going to keep in Chinese food syndrome. Or Chinese
food. Chinese food
How are you
syndrome?
Saying it? How are you saying
There's
it?
A di- it's a like the space between the words.
Is okay. that actual grammar?
Or no. Are you but just, I'm just like...
Okay, that's why I was confused. Like, I thought you were making an actual, like, if a comma's here or it's not there.
No, just it's how you say it. Like, is it a food syndrome in China or is it a syndrome like, caused like by Chinese food?
What happened to you yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome. Or, and then how would you use it the other way? Like, that feels
what happened yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome. What happened yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome.
That sounds no different to me.
Is it related to the region or is it related to the type of food? That's what
– It's related to the restaurant I ate at. You know the problem with Chinese food syndrome, don't you?
You're just going to want to get more – you just want to get more syndrome later.
That's a dumb joke. All right. This could be the best or worst episode we've ever had. What?
All right.
We'll see. I was very happy to have you, Stephen Wilbur. Please plug your Twitter, or your Vine, any of that stuff you want to plug again, or shows you got coming up.
My at Wilbur with an E.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Vine. I've got a Funny Over Everything at the Hollywood Theater August 8th.
Yep, that's
very
be
excited to be on that one
with Dave Ross and
Barbara Gray,
which will be really fun. Sean doesn't want you in it anymore now that you won.
Oh.
No, that's not true. but Dave Ross from the sketch group Women and Drunk History and Barbara Gray, who I think was on Craig Ferguson recently or something like that.
And got texted by that guy and responded in All-Star by Smash
Mouth. Which is, that was a great thing. But you can catch Steven there. I will be on that show as well at the Hollywood Theater. It's 8 o'clock August 8th. If you want to come, you can. I can't tell people to go to the shows or go to your Twitter handle. We have to be like, if you want to learn more, I say this every week, but it really makes me mad that I can't just be like, just come to the show, but they won't let me say that.
Can I say come to the show?
No, you can't. But if I said, you know what? I go to Stephen Wilbur's Vine all the time, and I think it's fantastic. More people should check that out if they want to. And then you would say something like, hey,
consent culture's a really great thing.
Yeah.
That sounded sarcastic, and I didn't mean it to sound because it is a really great thing.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. If you so choose to, you can follow me on Twitter at Syrup Mountain, and ShaneIsAComedian.com is my website. We thank you all for listening. Let's all go out for Chinese food syndrome. Thanks for listening.